Hello, friends and folks. It's Dadoo's Day, October 27th, 2019. You are listening to Scanlane Media's Fire Emblem Three Houses second semester podcast. There will be spoilers. You have been warned. If you complain about it later, I will apologize, but also it's still your fault. I'm Six Detmar from Scanlane Media.
And I'm Jennifer Uncle from Scanlane Media.
I'm Kyrie Page, also from Scanlane Media, and I don't know how well this is going to play, but I have one thing to say. You ready for some Fire Emblem dubstep?
Turns out it's playing very badly.
Yeah.
All right, well, good hustle, good effort, good, you know, good answer. But yeah, no, that sounded terrible.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, we are here to talk about the second half, and also, I guess, the rest of the game of Fire Emblem Three Houses. I will warn you now, there will be a bonus episode later this week. There will be some summer school for you Black Eagles out there as the two Black Eagles routes compare notes. But right now, we've the three main routes represented. I am Black Eagle's church route, I guess you would say. Jens are Blue Lions, and then Kyrie, you're holding up the golden deer, right?
Yep, holding up the golden deer horns.
Throwing up the horns, woo!
Woo, woo. Yeah.
Woo.
Woo, woo. I don't know where to start, because I still, please understand, I really liked the Golden Deer route, but it got silly.
Did it? So, the interesting thing is, because these routes diverge so much, I know facts about the world that aren't in my route, right? From complimentary reading, but, I don't really know what happened in y'all's routes.
Same. I only really know what happened in the Golden Deer route, and only I vaguely know what happens in Black Eagles and Blue Lions. But I don't know where we should start. I guess
just a quick summary of how our routes played out, I guess. I'll do mine first. So in my route, head of the Black Eagle House, and it's all going great, and then Edelgard's like, hey, check it out, I'm gonna ascend to being Empress right now, and I think the church sucks, and I'm gonna destroy the church.
Which, fair.
Sure, and having done some reading, I see her points. Having not done the secret shit you need to do to access her route, which is annoying and dumb, I had no choice but to be like, no, you're wrong. The church is great. I love the church. I go every Sunday. And so she attacked the monastery. I got knocked out for 5 years when the Pope turned into a dragon to fight off her soldiers.
That was kind of rad. I'm not gonna lie. Pope,
it wasn't terrible.
Pope turning into a dragon would be, that's pretty cool.
And then woke back up 5 years later, just sort of reassembled the team because all my old students, made their way back to the monastery, and we were the third faction because there's there's the kingdom and they're trying to stop Edelgard, and then of course there's the alliance and they're trying to stop Edelgard, but there's also the empire resistance or whatever the fuck we were. And so we tried to fight Edelgard, and she was really tough, and she killed Dimitri. And she fucked Claude up, but he managed to get away. And then we slipped in and we killed her. But then it turned out that there was a power behind the throne, which were some individuals at the game called Those That Slither in the Dark, who are some subterranean super technology dudes. They dropped a fucking, pillar from the sky on us.
Uh-huh.
What?
Oh
yeah,
they dropped the magical medieval.
Yeah, no, that doesn't.
Missile.
I don't think that happens on Jen's route. Yeah, no. So there's this.
She does.
It's interesting because there was a pitch. I don't remember. A number of years ago, of just a scientist being orbital strikes aren't a scientific impossibility. If you fired a satellite into space and made it have basically large rods of tungsten. Tungsten has a melting point of, I think it's 12,000 degrees Celsius. So you can go through reentry. It doesn't give a shit. And so if you just have this satellite with these rods and it just lets go of them, they will fall from orbit to the ground at such a velocity it's like a very powerful bomb hitting. And that's basically what this is, only with magic.
Magic.
It's just like, and it's, there's so little warning. You take over this fort and the Death Knight's like, good job, I guess, but you're going to want to leave now. And you're like, ha, good bluff. And he's like, I'm super not bluffing.
No,
and there's this fucking, like, this fucking, like, gigantic pillar just flies out of the sky and blows up the fort. And you're like, what the fuck just happened?
There is a dude who, like, does the anime Twitch of, like in the cutscene that is just, like, you can't see their eyes, but under the mask, you could definitely tell that they just looked at these magical medieval cruise missiles and just had their eye twitch and just having no idea what the fuck happened.
It's a lot. That happened, by the way, before we fought Edelgard, I should say. We were on our way, and like we used that opportunity to be like, oh no, we're beaten, we're going home, psych, we're attacking your throne room, and we killed her. But then we're like, okay, we gotta go stop these people who are firing cruise missiles, I guess. So we went to go fight them, and they had mecha?
Uh-huh.
So we killed the mecha.
And dubstep.
And dubstep, I guess. And we're about to finish them off, like the leader of them or whatever, and he's like, haha, you didn't count on this, I've got another cruise missile. And you're like, oh shit, right, you can do that. And then the Pope turned into a dragon and like caught it and saved us, but like in the process got really fucked up and got corrupted and tried to kill everybody. And also it turned out that she'd been giving her blood to a bunch of members of the clergy, and they just sort of walk right past this and are like, oh, so she turned evil, and also all the members of the clergy who she's given her blood to, and I'm like, wait, she what?
Oh yeah, blood experiments are kind of a thing in this game.
Yeah, there's a lot going on with that lady. Anyway, so
yeah.
killed her the people who'd been possessed, and then she was like, oh, my last moments, I have my sense back, please be the new pope and lead the land to prosperity, and that was my ending.
Huh.
Wow.
Interesting.
Should I go over my ending? Because that was rather, like, not completely similar, but there is some similar beats to it.
Okay. I mean, how similar was yours to that?
Not very similar at all.
Okay. Then, yeah, let's do Kyrie's next.
So, like I said, after the 5-year time, so, like I said, Edelgard is revealed, ascends herself to Empress, you know. Your character gets completely knocked out for 5 years after the Pope turns into a dragon. Your classmates show up, you know, your students show up, and what it is like, it's kind of been compared to like other Fire Emblem stories, which is like a small resistance group, like working their way through, you know, Empire territory to like take down the big bad. And that's what happens is, like, basically you start a small resistance cell and you are worming your way through Empire land in order to like take down Edelgard at the top. So is the magical medieval cruise missiles before or after the three-way battle? I'm trying to remember.
I think it's implied to be after. In my run, I heard about the three-way battle, but was not present. I just basically got a letter of like, yo, Dimitri beefed it.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I was like,
Dimitri,
excuse me?
Yeah. Oh yeah, so the Golden Deer were like in that route, we participate in another three-way battle, and it's very sad because it's very reminiscent of the three-way battle that happened when they were in school, except it was much more lighthearted then. Now it's like Dimitri's saying, kill them all, Peter. Dimitri dies off screen in my run. He is assumed dead for most of the route, and then he shows up once, and then apparently Empire people just surrounded him and stick him with spears.
Oh, I should. I'm sorry. I guess that's an important detail, which is I get the letter, which is like, hey, there's a big battle between the three kingdoms, and Dimitri got killed, and Claude, like, is okay, but he kind of got beat up and had to run off to the hills, and your character is just, you know, her usual stoic self being like, that's a bummer, and she goes off to be by herself, and then the ghost of Dimitri shows up and is like, yo, you gotta fucking get that lady. And you're like, excuse me?
What?
The ghost then, at the beach? Oh, in my run, what it was like, Dedu, how do you pronounce his name?
Dedu.
Like, he basically, like, sees Dimitri get sticked by these spears and goes, like, I will take on your efforts. And then he kind of joins up with you temporarily because you have the same goal of taking down Edelgard and the Empire. And... like, you do all that, you go to the capital of Embar, you do some stuff, you try to take down that fort, magical medieval cruise missiles happen, you go to the Dubstep Dome, and then you find out that after the Dubstep Dome, Rhea, like, she's been hurt during this battle. She does not turn in Golden Deer route. Instead, she just says that, like, oh, by the way, Baelith, I have, I transplanted the heart of Sophis into you. That's why you were able to talk to a demigod. And you're like, what? And then it's just, you move on.
Yeah, I assume that came up in everybody's route, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But no, none of the clergy go crazy because they have her blood or anything in the Golden Deer route. All it is like, oh, Nemesis is back, and you gotta take down Nemesis.
Oh, Nemesis comes back. Okay.
Oh, you all didn't right. get that? That's not the universal.
Oh, no. No. It's my final fight with the Dark Dudes is just the dude who originally tried to swallow you in darkness. And he's like, it's cruise missile time. And you're like, it's sword time. And he's like, damn it.
No, in my route, Nemesis comes back, which Nemesis was mentioned during the main game as, like, the force that, like, Rhea fought back in the day, which, or that lady that looked like Rhea and is confirmed to be actually Rhea, mm-hmm. I think.
In the intro, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, if you want the quick breakdown, so Seiros... is Rhea.
Mm-hmm.
That's just who that is. And then the four saints are... two of them are inside quests as monsters that are sentient monsters. And then the other two are, of course, Flayn and Seteth.
Right.
So.
Okay.
They're all older than they pretend to be.
Exactly. So there's that. And then you fight Nemesis and you actually take down Nemesis So, you know, at the opening cutscene, like, I started my second playthrough earlier today and I saw the opening cutscene. And there's cinematic parallels here because, like, there's, like, a sword clash that happens in the opening cutscene. And then in the final cutscene against Nemesis, like, Claude fires an arrow straight into the air like he was the fucking sharp-eyed impaler. And, like, right before a sword clash happens, an arrow sticks straight through his arm and gives Byleth an opening to, like, stab Nemesis with the Sword of Creation and finishes him off once and for all. Hmm. But yeah, you fight Nemesis, and then basically Claude's entire goal was to tear down the borders and have, like, a unified Fodlan, however it's pronounced. And he basically, I decided to get engaged to him, but he decides that for a while he needs to go back to his home country to, like, also tear down the borders.
And then break the walls,
break
meow.
The walls, break them down.
Jericho! Excuse me.
Yeah, basically. And then he comes back in a... and he comes back in the epilogue.
All right.
So,
yeah, Jen, what happened with the angry boy? Oh, I should note, with as far as the Dedu watch, in my run. Dudu, I see Dudu once in the second half of the game, which is as I'm storming the throne room from like a side passage. Dudu kicks in the door and he's like, "Oh, you guys are here. Well, whatever. I'm gonna go kill Edelgard."
Oh, Dudu shows up and talks to me in the Golden Deer route.
He's got nothing to say to me. He's like, "No, listen. I'm here for a head. If you get it first,
great.
That's fine. But you're gonna have to give it to me afterwards, cause
I kind of need it. Listen.
So Jen,
yeah,
Blue Lions.
So just quick backstory with Dimitri, because most of the route is about him coming to terms with his demons. Basically, when
he has demons? Shit, this game is wild.
So 3 years before he came to the academy, Dimitri lost both his father and his stepmother basically. It was supposedly that the people of Dusker murdered both of them. And since that time, like even during the time before the time skip, he was basically biding his time looking for a way to get revenge, because essentially he takes what he assumes to be the grief of these victims on himself and turns that into this bloodlust sort of, I need to kill all these people because that's the only way these voices will leave me alone. And when you end up having the time skip scenario, which is pretty similar to what Six mentioned with Rhea turning into a dragon, you get knocked into a cavern and you basically come up to him and he's slouched in a corner with a spear. He has missing one eye, and he initially thinks that you're another voice that's joining his head, another ghost to haunt him. And as you return, the rest of the Blue Lions slowly come into play as they hear that you're okay and Dimitri is okay, or alive at least. And as soon as you retake the ruined church grounds, Dimitri goes into, okay, I need to have Edelgard's head at all costs, who is with me. And for the most part, everyone's kind of following him because they want to fight. They don't like what Edelgard is doing, and they want to reunite everyone, more or less. But everyone keeps going, Dimitri, you're kind of being too much right now. And something that happens that kind of foreshadows what's going to happen later on is you end up taking one of the two pairs. I mean, you take a pair of siblings. You end up killing one of them. And Dimitri is pretty close to torturing them until you cut them down yourself so Dimitri doesn't make this person's last moments miserable. He is basically pushing everyone to fight back against Edelgard, while ignoring the fact that his own kingdom has been taken over by pro-Empire forces that are more or less making everyone's lives in the kingdom hell. And you're pushing that direction until you encounter someone that is like, "Oh, my family's dead. I need to join you, Dimitri. I need to join your quest for revenge." And Dimitri's like, "Okay, come along." And after the Battle of the Three Houses that happens, she ends up turning to him, taking a sword out, and it turns out that's that other sibling that you almost... It's the sister of the sibling that you more or less gleefully killed earlier. And as she is going to strike Dimitri, Felix's dad runs out into the middle of it and takes the mortal blow himself. In that moment, Dimitri realizes he's been a selfish prick and realizes he needs to live for himself, or at least not live with the expectations of dead people on his shoulders. So you all head back over to the kingdom. You settle things, you reunite the kingdom. you go and aid Claude, who decides, okay, I'm going to peace out to this other place. I need to get out of Fodlan. Here's my legendary bow. And by the way, I'm folding my nation into your nation because that's how it used to be. And I think you need the forces, so here you go.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And before the final battle, Dimitri basically invites Edelgard to a conference of sorts to try talking it out with her, because he also thinks that the church is bullshit and that the way things are right now isn't exactly great. And he just thinks that this whole Iron Fist fascist stuff is kind of a bad look. But she refuses to join forces, says that it's her way or the highway. So we push into Edelgard's castle. She, in the meantime, has fused with a demon.
What?
And she's basically taken on this corrupted form where she's floating in the air and shooting fireballs at people. And after you defeat her, all that fades away. Dimitri, being Dimitri, does his best to help Edelgard up and be like, okay, this is... we're gonna just make a truce here. But Edelgard uses that opportunity to take the dagger that he gave her a long time ago and stabs him in the shoulder with it, so he's forced to run her through with his lance. And after that happens, you take over the church full time. Rhea, who doesn't really appear this route at all, is said to have resigned, and that's how things go.
Yeah, Rhea and my route is like the entire mission is to like, well, at least the implied mission is to rescue Rhea. Although mm-hmm. Claude is it turns out all three of these kids think the church is bullshit. And they should have like they really should have put their heads together. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, one other thing to do is initially presumed dead, because the whole reason Dimitri got out of jail is because Dudu supposedly sacrificed his life, but Dudu ends up coming back in a triumphant moment and joins your forces. So that's fun.
Dudu doing it out there.
Yeah, like, I initially thought that he was actually dead, and that was just a different thing with the different routes, but no, he's alive. He's still kicking it.
Okay. I feel like, so, okay, do we want to talk politics?
Sure. Why not?
Absolutely.
Fuck it, why not?
Edelgard is right.
Edelgard is correct.
Edelgard is right that the current system is fucked. So, Edelgard's position is this. One, the church is corrupt and manipulative. True.
True.
Two, especially the current leadership of the church. Rhea fed a bunch of people her blood so she could control them, and also she's been, like, shoving a rock of her mom into people so they would reincarnate as her mom? She sucks.
Yeah. There's a reason that, like, if you do Claude's, like, support conversations, he basically comes out as, like, one, he is, like, throughout most of the support conversations, basically comes out as agnostic. Like, it's sort of like, I don't necessarily believe in any gods or goddesses. I believe in people and I believe in the earth and that kind of thing. But the conversations that he has with Byleth specifically are things like, yeah, I think, like, Rhea's kind of sketch and this whole situation is sketchy and I want to tear it all down.
Yeah. And finally, the sort of like the key point that it feels like nobody else manages to make the jump with her is Edelgard is, well, nobody in power. There are some other minor characters who also hold this position. But Edelgard is like, yo, the system of Kress is fucked. Sometimes because of bloodlines plus like just randomization, people randomly get this thing that makes them powerful. and thus they are important in society and gain power over people and leverage. And that's fucked up, and I want to get rid of that.
Oh yeah, Lysithia's like entire arc is that you find out that the reason she has two crests is because of fucked up blood experiments by those monks that launched the cruise missiles, the ones who slither in the darkness.
And that's the same deal with Edelgard, actually. Edelgard has the Crest of Flames as well.
Oh, okay.
Because she used to have a lot of siblings. And the current emperor is basically a figurehead. He doesn't have very much actual power. It's mostly the counselors who are like, hey, we really need, like, this current emperor is a disappointment. We need someone worthy of being the emperor. How about someone with a really powerful crest? So they trapped them all in the basement and just experimented on them until most of them, well, actually, all but one of them were dead. Edelgard, who managed to get the Crest of Flames. And they're like, okay, you get, we'll unlock the basement now. You get our thumbs up. And so Edelgard's position is...
Fuck that.
Right, well, her position is basically like, you can't, like, this system is beyond saving. You need to burn the system down and start over fresh. The foundation is corrupt, so we need a new foundation. And she is right.
she is so, correct. Edelgard is right.
So Dimitri also has a very similar position to that, except his is that it should be a people's revolution and not a bunch of fucking fascists.
The problem is twofold. One, Dimitri comes to this after how many months of just being like, I'm going to kill everyone. So he doesn't have a whole lot of credibility. And two, you can, like, I appreciate that perspective, but the people in the situation don't have the facts. You know? Like, I think if the people knew all the context, that'd be great, but it's, you're not going to be able to explain to everyone the whole situation of like, okay, here's Rhea, here's what her deal is, here's the deal with crests, here's all the experiments going on, here's what the church used to be. By the way, the church totally edited history. They just straight up rewrote history to be convenient for them.
Oh yeah, Claude points that out, and it is like immediately suspicious of like... Sedith, like, takes some documents of the Immaculate One, which is the other name for Rhea's, like, dragon form, and Sedith just, like, basically censored those documents, and Claude's whole thing is like, yeah, they're hiding something. I just know it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what, but they are.
You know the 10 heroes, the 8 heroes?
Uh-huh.
Whatever?
10 heroes, yeah.
They were on Nemesis' side. They were Nemesis' pals and were trying to fuck up everybody. And the Saints and Seiros stood against them. But they're like, hey, we can't let people know that because a lot of their descendants are around. So let's just change history so that we were all on the same side and we were all buds.
You actually fight, like, in the fight with Nemesis, you have to take down 10, like, I assume, like, reanimated versions of those 10 elites with their own versions of the legendary weapons. And you gotta take them down before you can take down Nemesis. It's actually a pretty interesting fight.
Yeah, that does sound kind of cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
One thing I'll also point out is even within the church, they're trying to... There's movement towards destroying the crest system. Like, Sedith especially, if you talk with him and have his support conversations with other characters, he doesn't like the crest system. He thinks that there are more disadvantages than advantages, and he is basically working towards changing the church's policy on that.
But he says that. Sedith is the most, like...
He's a neoliberal.
He's the most bright Noah motherfucker, where he's just like, I'm just gonna go along with the status quo and complain about it. He's not gonna change anything. He's gonna talk about how bad it is, and he's gonna let it happen. Rhea's the one in control, and Rhea thinks crests are great because they give her leverage over people.
Don't trust the Pope, kids. Even if she can't turn into a dragon, don't trust the Pope.
White smoke is not your friend. You see it coming out the chimney, you say, no, let's unionize.
Yeah, no, so, no vaping.
So my actual biggest problem with Edelgard is the whole thing where she's making a whole monstrous army that will crush everyone under her heel. And it's one of those situations where it's like, oh yeah, she's planning to have it not be that when she's finished, but a lot of things happen when you create those specific systems, and if she were to beef it, or if there were to be a power struggle where she was no longer in charge, then anyone could just take the machinations that she's put into this world and run with it and make things even worse, or make them permanent.
You know, on the other hand, that sounds like an argument for protecting Edelgard and making sure her shit works. Because she's already got the monsters.
She does have the big old monsters, huh?
You could just be on standby. I mean, like, listen, you get a Byleth on standby. You're like, listen, in case of monster, break Byleth glass, and she just kills everybody. It's fine.
Did you get that cutscene where Byleth is the one who strikes down Edelgard? Or is that on my on my
room? No, I got that as well.
Yeah, that was actually a really fucking effective scene. Because I had I thought, are we gonna spare Edelgard? Are we gonna do something? But nope, cut the black. Like, granted, the gravity of that scene is a little compromised at like the moment it pulls out and it goes back to the battle screen, you hear the whoosh. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh right, we're still in a mission.
The best Edelgard moment I think I had actually was so you make the promise, I assume this happens to everybody, but you're like, hey, let's, you know, in near the end of part one, you're like, let's all promise to meet back here in 5 years, right? Yep,
for the Millennium Festival.
And the first, so when I went back, the place was abandoned, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there was one person there, and it was Edelgard. And like, and the scene opens before you get there of her being like, why did I even come back? This is stupid. Nobody's going to show up. And you show up, and she's like, wow, I thought you were dead. This is great. Can you come with me? And you're like, and she's like, oh. Well, shit. All right.
Out of curiosity, how on earth do you get the, like, what are the unlock conditions in order to, like, side with Edelgard?
So you have to get her to support rank C+, before February. And then in February, one of the weekends in February, you have to use up all your actions during Explore. And then it's not marked, but then you have to go find Edelgard and talk to her, and she'll be like, hey, I'm about to go visit the Empire. Do you want to come with? And you have to say yes. And she goes and gets crowned Empress. And she's like, okay, listen, here's what's going on.
Here's the real shit.
Right.
Yeah. One thing that is kind of funny, too, in Dimitri's route, you see in support conversations before anything happens that Dimitri, as a gesture towards a girl he liked once, gave her a dagger, and everyone is constantly giving...
What a fucking dweebus.
Yeah, like, Sylvain is initially the only one who knows, and he's like, Dimitri, you need all the help you can get from me. You gave a girl a dagger. And, at some point, it's revealed that when there was a summer that Dimitri and Edelgard spent together as children, and because he had a crush on Edelgard and just wanted to remember their time, he gave her a dagger and said, use this to cut through to the future you want. And at some point during the post-time skip, everyone else finds out, and they're all like, okay, so you were related to Edelgard, got it. But you gave her a dagger? And eventually that ends up being the dagger that she stabs Dimitri with at the end of that route, which is pretty funny.
You sound really, like, incredulous. Is that like a weird thing to do? So listen, I've only ever been on one date. And I was like, here's a chainsaw. I want you to carve your way towards a better future for yourself. And she never called me back, and I don't this might explain a lot.
It was
one of those portable ones. It was like gas powered, and she didn't need to plug it in, and I thought it was really convenient. It was a thoughtful gift.
It was an incredibly thoughtful gift for a lumberjack.
Only slightly used.
So
I'm pretty sure I got most of the blood off.
So my personal opinion about that sort of thing, giving a girl you love a sword is a perfectly acceptable gesture. Giving a girl a dagger is very suggestive in a scary way. So swords, okay. Daggers, not so much.
What about a dagger whose sheath is a dildo?
I don't know. I don't know what the social calculus on that one is.
A lot of messages going on here. I don't know if any of them are good. This is complicated, though.
Don't even get started on just handing someone a giant lance.
Child Dimitri looks like such a goober, too. He has the pre-time skip Dimitri hair, except he's like 10 or 12, and...
He has the boy band hair, even at 12 years old.
Yeah, and Edelgard has her Edelgard hair at that age, too. So it's a very funny image of... It looks like that thing where occasionally when people are doing fan art of characters as a cutesy sort of thing, they're like, what do they look like when they were kids? And of course, they have similar hairstyle, and they just did that in Fire Emblem, but it's official.
Yeah.
So, who did everyone end up with at the end?
I went with Claude. Like, that was, like, listen, no disrespect to, like, the rest of the house, like, Golden Deer, because Golden Deer are my kids, and I love all the Golden Deers. But
you're also not going to have sex with your kids.
Right. It's slim. Yeah. Listen, Golden Deer... Like, it's slim pickings because Lorenz is kind of an asshole. Ignis is just kind of there. Raphael is like here for eating meat all day.
Wow. Damn. You're like, listen, Raphael, there needs to be more to our relationship.
But I want to eat more food. It's like, yes, I know. I'm aware. Oh my god. But no, I like Claude's route quite a bit because it felt the most sentimental. Like, there, he eventually starts calling you in the Japanese dub Kyodai, which is really cute, and I really like that. And he goes off to like he tears down the walls, and then he goes to his own home country, presumably on a dragon, because after the 5-year time skip, Claude gets a dragon.
Sure.
It's fucking rad. He just becomes like a for the rest of the game at that point becomes like a mounted dragon unit, and he even gets like a special like class like later where it's that combination of dragons and bows. He's a really potent fighter. And off the battlefield, he is a very good person. And I really liked Claude's, like, route a lot. And he's he's probably one of the best written of the support conversations, aside from Lysithia. Lysithia and her fear of ghosts.
There's a lot of people afraid of ghosts in this game.
Listen, ghosts are scary. I don't not believe in ghosts, but fuck, I'm scared of ghosts.
Right? Right? I ended up with Dorothea because I have taste, which, you know, it's okay if you don't. I understand. great lady, classy lady. And we had a great time. She was very nice. When she goes through the time skip, she suddenly just like... She even has a bad reaction. She starts to really, really hate war in a way that the other characters don't seem to get around to the point where, like, when she levels up, she's like, great, I guess I'm better at killing people. This sucks. You're like, well, sorry.
Yeah, I recruited Dorothea, like, in my playthrough, and she had that sentiment of, like, yeah, this whole thing sucks. I'd rather just go back to singing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which didn't work. I mean, I guess she got to sing after it was like, okay, well, now I'm the Pope. You can sing with the Pope. Yeah, I don't know. I liked our relationship, but I wasn't happy with where I ended up, and so she probably wasn't happy with where she ended up.
Yeah. Dang. For me, I ended up getting engaged to Ash, the white-haired...
What?
What?
What? Yeah,
I don't think I said anything.
Okay. But yeah, the very earnest...
Earnest white-haired twig, yes.
Yeah.
What?
But yeah, it's a very sweet scene, because he's basically the one that ends up proposing to you first, and then when you say yes, he gets very blushy and excited and very happy, and the way that ends up going is after the war, when you're the Pope, he spends the rest of his days as your knight, and he does things like sets up various acts of kindness for the villagers and stuff like that, like treating the sick and having story time and getting everyone pretty much happy, and he gives you credit for all of that because he's just selfless like that. Hmm. Yeah, it's a very lighthearted saccharine ending, I'd say.
Yeah, it sounds like you need that sort of lightheartedness in comparison to, like, what the rest of the Blue Lions route is, which I just started earlier today, so it'll be really interesting to get to the parts you talked about.
Yeah, Ash just had a pretty rough life. Like, his whole thing of being a thief when he was younger, trying to keep his family alive, and then when he's in the Officer's Academy, you have to go kill his adopted father because he tries to overthrow the church. And yeah, he's had a rough go of it. And it's nice to have a situation where he gets to be the hero knight. And frankly, he deserved it because he one-shotted Edelgard on her last health bar as a result of a counterattack. Like, she swiped at him, did zero damage. He did a backflip with the legendary bow that he got from Claude, and killed her instantly.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so...
I love murder. You monster.
He's a regular old monster hunter.
Yeah, wow.
Really leveled up that bow gun.
So, okay, have you finished this and you're like, no, I'm still ride or die for my house?
I'd say so, yeah. Like, Dimitri's arc of redemption is very good. He's admittedly pretty hot post-time skip. And I enjoyed his whole thing. And it was nice to see him come back from the brink of wanting to kill everyone. And, yeah, I think that what he did was more or less the right thing to do at the very end. He reunited everyone as part of the kingdom, and he stopped Edelgard from murdering everyone else and instituting a world filled with monsters and dark magic and shit.
Sounds pretty biased. Monsters are... Well, they're not people, too, but monsters, you know, listen.
Monsters were people.
Monsters, Inc.
Go on.
No, that's it. That's the thought.
I,
so, so Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I initially, like, truth be told, I initially sorted myself into Golden Deer House because, you know, you two had already locked in. But I really, like, I grew very attached to the Golden Deer. We're just a bunch of, like, messed up weird kids just trying to make it in this crazy old world, and that's what I appreciated about the Golden Deer route, is that everybody's support stories, basically everybody's kind of just a little weird and everybody's just kind of a little messed up but trying their best anyway. And you know, that's very relatable.
For my part, I'm still on my second playthrough. I've been taking my time because there's other stuff going on. It's like, no, I beat it once. I don't need to rush to beat it a second time. I think I like the Black Eagle's house. I think I want to do Edelgard's route, and I think that'll be the route for me. Because I'm not happy with the part where I become the Pope and everything. That doesn't super jive with me. But like the people of the Black Eagles, it's just like everyone in the Black Eagles is just really stressed out, and I just really connect with it, right? I mean, you've got Bernadetta, your bow wielding Hikikomori, and it's just like, not, oh, you poor girl,
not secretly eating cake.
She's probably the best side character in this game. She's just so amazing. You've got Linhart, just like you know, chaotic, tired.
Chaotic,
yeah,
sleepy
just
boy.
The sleepy boy. Yeah, it's extremely good. You've got Hubert, who mostly is good for the way he interacts with everyone else. I talked about it on the previous podcast, but the way he's just like such an asshole, and everyone's just like doesn't even react negatively. They're just so taken aback by how openly hostile he is. Is really fun. I think Edelgard's great. Casper is really like fun and just like being this just like shouty idiot. I don't dislike a single member of my house, which I feel like nobody else can say.
Trying to think if there's anyone in Blue Lions that I actually dislike. Like Sylvain, I initially hated, but he really grew on me as I got to know him more, and he has some really charming moments, and he's also, in some ways, the smartest side character in the whole game. Like, he puts on a big show of not trying when he's actually pretty studious, and also thinks that the crest system is total bullshit and should be overthrown. And
Linhart's a lot smarter than him.
Oh,
Linhart's
okay.
Really, really smart.
Yeah,
and also Felix, who. Felix is incredible. Like, Felix has this very off-putting attitude towards people, where he's aggressive towards them, but he's kind of aggressive in a caring way, as you find out more. Like, he's mostly acting that way just because he's just standoffish as a person, but he'll also go above and beyond to protect the people that he's insulting every now and then.
You know, Linhart pulls the Sonic Adventure 2. His first support conversation with Lysithia, he is like, "Hey, Lysithia, I know your secret." She's like, "I don't have any secrets. What are you talking about?" And he's like, "I'm talking about the fact that you have two crests." It's like, "Shut up!" And he's like, "Oh, you do? Okay, I was just guessing. Thanks for confirming it." He's like, "Damn it!"
I will say, I liked everyone in my house except Loretz, because Loretz was a slacker on the battlefield. And he... Lysithia deserved better.
Wait, did he end up with...
Lysithia, yeah. Although...
That's your fault. You know that, right?
Yes, I'm aware. I'm aware. That being said, it's very funny in the epilogue that apparently, like, Lorenz would, like, pretend to make all these decisions, but it turns out Lysithia was the one making all the decisions behind his back.
Sure, of course.
Yeah.
Only way that could work.
Yep.
So you ended up liking Ferdinand overall, Six?
Yeah, I mean, Ferdinand has great, like, Ferdinand is is enjoyably earnest in all his social interactions. Like, his, you have ones where people don't like him, and those are the supports that made me really come around on him. Like, Dorothea is just, like, overwhelmingly sarcastic about him, like, oh, Mr. Noble, sir, oh, how could I be of use to you, oh, great High Noble? And he's like, it's weird, I feel like you're making fun of me. He just feels very confused, and he's like, I don't feel like I've done anything to you, why do you hate me? And he's, and she's like, oh, I couldn't possibly hate someone of your caliber, Mr. Highfalutin Noble, sir.
Oh, Mr. Noble.
And he's like, well, you probably have your reasons, so I'm sorry, and I'm gonna make cookies for you? It's like, okay, Ferdinand, like, you're clueless about your entitlement, but you're trying. You've got a good heart.
He's giving it, giving it an old college try.
Mm-hmm. He's a good kid. My only couple besides you know, me and besides Byleth that I ended up with was Bernadetta and Linhart, which was a very funny. It's just sort of like, Linhart was like very motivated, was like, should have been a very motivated scholar, but apparently his wife never pushed him to leave the house, so they all just took naps. I was like, wow, that sounds like they had a great ending.
That sounds like they had a really good one. There was one like grouping that worked together. So if you do Raphael and Marianne's social link, Raphael believes Marianne can talk to birds, so they kind of bond over the fact that they both really like animals, although Raphael just can't seem to like, he cannot like, he is the size of a brick house and just sort of like is about as subtle as a brick house and like constantly scares the birds away, but he eventually learns how to like talk with the birds and feed them and stuff. So apparently he and Marianne opened up an inn, and so I don't know, it was a rather cute ending for them.
Yeah,
sweet.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And I actually had two different same-sex support group endings that were in Blue Lions. One of them, Mercedes and Annette, I believe. Mm-hmm. That sounds like, yeah. Basically, it was by far the funniest one, because it's the situation where they're like, oh, they were such good friends that they were constantly in contact with one another, and by the time they grew old, they decided to live in a cottage together and spend the rest of their days together because they were such good friends. And I'm like, I see you there, intelligent systems. just say that they're gay already. And the other one was Felix and Sylvain, which their whole thing is that they were kind of at their separate posts, but they found excuses to constantly drop in on one another and just did various things like sparring together and all that. And true to one of their support conversations, they died more or less at the same time, except it was in different locations. But yeah, like they once promised, one of them wasn't going out without the other, and that's how it went.
I really want to, I'm working on making sure I get Dorothea and Petra this run, because I've seen theirs from, you know, social media and stuff, and it's so sweet. Like, that their like, final support conversation is Petra saying, I can't imagine loving anyone more than I love you, to Dorothea. Aww. It's just so nice.
Aww,
they
nice.
Deserve each other. They don't play around with that one. They're like, oh no, they gay as fuck.
I'm gonna have to write down that one, and so when I eventually get to the Black Eagles route, I'll definitely have to go for that ship.
And that's also one of the things that I ended up liking, which was, at first I was mad that there weren't more, like, queer relationships in the game. And then I was like, wait, Petra's gay for Dorothea, but not for Byleth. It's just that she's not into Byleth. Okay, that's fair.
That is perfectly valid.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's fair too. I just feel like some of the language they have around some of these pairings, is just like, and they were such good friends. It's like, come on.
Sure, sure. Well, and I think a lot of that is the West is the localization, unfortunately. Like, as we talked about last time, like, as I was getting early, like, conversations flirting with Dorothea, in Japanese, she was specifically dropping terminology about girls hanging out together, if you know what I mean. And in English, she was just like, oh, you and me, that sounds interesting. And it's like, come on, you fucking assholes. Stop.
Like, come on. Please.
Yeah. I've also heard...
systems. But CIS is spelled CIS.
I've also heard.
Go ahead.
I've also heard good things about Caspar and Ash's support conversations. Like, apparently, Caspar feeds a lot of meat to his cat and talks about how he's going to keep feeding his cat meat in the conversation. And it sounds pretty bizarre and interesting. Like, he's like, oh, you want this meat, don't you, cat? You want my meat? Here's...
Yikes. Wow. Casper, this is Maine? You cannot. Like, I spent a lot of time with Casper. I have not seen this side of his character, and frankly, I'm not happy about it.
Jennifer.
All right.
Oh my god. Yeah, this game's pretty good. All things considered, Fire Emblem Three Houses, pretty good game.
Yeah, no, I'm a fan. I'm looking forward to a deep dive on the Black Eagle's house, the best house, having our own podcast because we're so cool. You aren't invited.
Well, it's a very Claude, a very Golden Deer thing to just sort of sit back and just kind of like let them do their thing, and then make changes where changes are necessary.
Mm-hmm. Wow. All right. I think we should kick it here to our plug zone. Sixstepmar on Twitter, scanlinemedia.com, patreon.com/scanlinemedia. There's mine. I made it fast.
Yep. Well, at Kyrie A. Page on Twitter, check out Ultimate Despair Reprise. We just finished Danganronpa. That was really good. We're going to start Danganronpa 2 pretty soon. So,
cool.
At you, cool. Despaircast.
It's, you know, it must be very depressing having the only good game in the series in the rearview mirror, but I have faith in you to push through.
Okay, whatever you say, Six.
There's a reason I'm not on that podcast.
Oh, there's a reason. I really liked V3.
You could, though, if I was on the podcast, you could just have a recurring segment with my own theme music called Boo This Queer.
Here comes Six again with their opinion.
What if... No, I can't spoil Danganronpa 2, even though, if I did, you'd be happier than if you found the ending naturally.
Oh, it's a good ending.
It's fine.
It's so bad.
It's fine.
It might be the... it's the second worst visual novel ending.
What's the first?
The first is fucking, what's it, God, Jen, you know, what's it called?
Zero Time Dilemma?
No, before that.
Virtue's Last Reward.
Virtue's Last Reward.
Oh, man, fuck Virtue's Last Reward.
Right? So it's worse, but, you know, listen, conversation to be had. It's not like Virtue's Last Reward runs away. No, they do run away with it. The suicide illness? Fuck yourselves. Jen! Yeah.
Yes.
Where can people find you on social media?
Okay.
Where can people find you?
People can find me at JBU3 on Twitter, on scanlinemedia.com, on patreon.com/scanlinemedia and at the visual novel / adventure game / mostly storytelling game podcast, Novel Not New, a True End podcast, which you can find at readinggames.online.
All right.
All right, great.
Well, thank you so much, everyone, for stopping in. Don't forget to come to summer school if you're a Black Eagle.
Remember, don't trust the Pope.
Don't trust the Pope. Swords, not hordes.
Don't give a dagger out on a first date.
I mean, listen.
Well.
What if a girl gave it to a boy? Then it would be like. What if two girls gave it to each other? It's just when there's a boy giving it to a girl, because then there's like a level of metaphor there and also of history of violence. That's the problem.
Yeah. You also shouldn't give a history of violence on Blu-ray or DVD on your first date.
If you got it on VHS, though, that's romantic.
Yeah.
Or Laserdisc. Anyway, good night.
Good night, everybody. Stay in school, kids.
Peace out and have fun with fishing.